Hello, hello, I'm Josh Withers, and this is the Unpopular Podcast, and it's a podcast from the Unpopular community. You can find this podcast already at unpopular.show. Unpopular.com.au is the membership blog, and there's a free blog at unpopular.est, the unpopularist. And the idea with this is that we have a chat to business people that are friends of mine, and we have a chat about their business and how we can lubricate things and make things a little bit better. This is episode 3. Episode 1 and 2 are both from wedding industry people, and they're also from males, and I do want to try and get some diversity happening, and that is happening, but I happen to be staying at James's house, and so I'm like, this would be a waste opportunity. James, hello.
Hello there.
Who are you?
James Day, wedding photographer. Live near Sydney by the beach, which is where we are right now.
It's the most Australian thing. Everyone's like, Sydney by the beach. Can you see the opera house from your house?
Almost. Almost. No, I'm really glad that we can't. I'm very glad that I'm not that close to Sydney.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because you can go to the beach here at Bulleye and it's just you. Like one other bloke with a dog.
Yeah.
And it's probably a good bloke.
Probably.
James, what do you do? Like, give everyone the insight into you and what you do. Like what makes you unpopular?
Many things make me unpopular. The main thing that I do is I photograph weddings, as I said before.
Mm-hmm.
That's been sort of my one and only big career. That's all I've ever done. I've had little flirts with other things before I got started as a photographer.
But what's the furthest flirt from wedding photography? like were you a stripper at some point? Or
I worked in a gym as a personal trainer.
Really?
Mm.
Wow.
So once upon a time, I was super fit. Now I'm just super fat. yeah, so...
You know, my friend James used to be a personal trainer. You should talk to him about some tips and stuff.
Yeah, a lot has changed since then. I think I've probably photographed in the realms of 600 weddings. So I've been to lots and lots of crazy parties. Probably none crazier than the wedding I shot on Saturday, though. That was, like, mind-blowingly crazy. And I love being a part of ridiculously nuts wedding celebrations. So where people just go, there, we're here to celebrate. Let's go all out. So
I like that.
Yeah.
Thanks, computer. The whole unpopular philosophy is that you don't have to be everyone's insert business name, like everyone's photographer, everyone's, you know, whatever, that you can kind of go niche and you can try and figure out what makes you.
Mm.
And so how do you kind of identify that? Like in a lineup of like up in Sydney, I'm guessing there's at least 1,000 wedding photographers. I don't know. I'm just making up a number. I haven't done any research, but I'm assuming there's a lot.
I think there's probably only 1,000 people who aren't wedding photographers in Sydney. Probably more to the point.
Because this is the whole unpopular thing, is that like there's a massive lineup of people. How do you make you? How do you make you niche? How do you kind of describe that?
Okay. Well, firstly, it's taken me a while to work this out.
Mm-hmm.
With a move from country Armidale, where I found that a lot of the people that were just booking me anyway were my kind of people, because I was shooting weddings in my hometown with people with similar upbringings. But then when I moved town, that was when things went a little bit bonkers.
Yeah.
So I moved from a town of 20,000 to a city of what city now? 4 million?
At least 2, 3, probably 4. I don't even know.
It's huge. And I found that I was working with a lot of people from very different backgrounds who had very different expectations, and that weren't necessarily matched up to how I'd spent, I don't know, whatever it was at that point, the seven years learning how to become a wedding photographer.
So, because in Armidale, it's quite common to go on a date to Macca's, whereas Sydney, not so common.
No, it's more KFC here.
Yeah,
it's a bit fancier. No, look, it was, you know, I was shooting a lot of weddings on private properties, you know, marquee out in the back of mum's place. The kind of wedding I had, in fact.
Yeah.
So they kind of made sense.
You literally got married at your mum's house.
I got married at my mum's house in a marquee out the back. So, but naturally by default, I found my niche just because that was everyone pretty much in my local town. But then when I came here, it was a different story. So it took me a few years to really work out who I was trying to reach and who I definitely didn't need to reach. You know, because it was just a real mismatch when it came to the expectations that they had, and also the expectations that I kind of went into a wedding with. And I'll tell you what, since making those adjustments when it comes to working out who I want to work with, there has been far less headaches.
I see a lot of people getting married because I'm a celebrant, mm-hmm. and I always ask them about photographers and why they hired them, and because I'm always hoping to gain some really awesome insight, I can finally crack the photographer code, and then me with my iPhone 7 and Visco will take over the photography world. But I think this is, and I'm sure you find a similar thing as you try to do market research, that when it comes to actually hiring anyone, whether it's a bricklayer through to photographer, in the end, no one really has this solid thing. Like, there's the odd couple who are like, we just knew we had to have you. But even then, I don't find that helpful. It's lovely. It's such almost like a blessing. Oh, cool, thank you for having me. But have you figured it out? Have you been like people really like it when I shoot in landscape photography using this filter and this light when I take
photos? No, I don't think it's about that at all.
Yeah, so what's it about?
For me, it's about meeting people and just... I want to work out, would I go to this wedding as a guest? And I want my couples to work out, would we hire this guy just to come along and hang out with us?
So you're saying it's got nothing to do with the logo on the black thing in your hand?
It has nothing to do with that. It even almost has nothing to do with my pictures. It has most to do with, oftentimes, would we be mates? If there wasn't a camera in my hand and they weren't coming to me for photography, would I actually invite them over for dinner? And would they invite me over for dinner? So for me, I mean, when I'm hanging out with a couple, I always want to meet the people I work with before I actually agree to doing it, before I, you know, want them to ask me to do it. Then I can sort of gauge whether or not there's, you know, that match there. It's a little bit like dating almost.
It is a bit like dating.
I mean, for me, wedding photographs, in their essence, they should be intimate portraits of moments that that I witnessed them share, and I became part of that moment. So I feel like when a client is looking through their images, if they are looking through those, remembering a moment where the photographer was barking orders at them, or just on the other side rather than a part of their team,
then
they're not going to have the same connection to the images that they would as if it was like their best friend who took it. And I think that's
so. Why aren't all of your photos selfies then?
The funny
if they're
thing
that
is,
intimate.
The funny thing is, I actually. On the wedding on Saturday, I was dancing with the bride for ages and ages while photographing her. It just became this it was this crazy connection we had where, you know, we became good mates.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it just became natural. I shot all these selfies of me dancing with the bride. But, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. That's often a test for me. I'm like, could I imagine myself dancing with these people on their wedding night? Because I want to be able to fit in enough that I wouldn't feel awkward or weird doing that, that I don't feel like I need to step right back and just let them do their thing 100% of the time, that I can actually get in there and just be like, hey, we're mates, let's hang out, let's have a beer together.
I'd like to see a photographer get in that selfie thing where, like, there's, like, professional selfie sticks. Does Manfrotto make a selfie stick yet?
If they don't, they should.
They should.
I think they're definitely listening to this. And we might want to put a patent on that.
Because I wouldn't, I don't know, like what's the expense of Nikon? Like, the 9,000 or whatever. Like, I wouldn't want to put a couple of $1,000 camera on, like, my $5 selfie stick that I bought from a guy at the front of the Louvre. I want to talk business things, and in a moment I want to talk to you about I want to automate something. I want to get a bit nerdy because we've done lots of nerdy things just not on podcast together. But Morgan asked in the Facebook group about albums.
He did
talk to me about Morgan. Albums, like, well, why are albums a thing?
Why are albums a thing?
Because I've got a Josh thought about this, but I just want to hear you talk about it.
Great. Look, we're living in this digital world where nothing really exists. And I think that on someone's most precious day, you know, one of the most fun days they may have in their life, it's nice to be able to hand them something and go, hey, this thing actually happened. This existed. This celebration that we had, here's proof. And digital is great, but for me, it's almost just it's the road that gets us to where we're wanting to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, whereas, you know, that can be fun. In the end, we're not going to be on that road forever. We're going to go somewhere else. You know, we're going to stop. We're going to whatever. So for me, having that proof is important. I think having something tangible at the end of the day is crucial. You know, people are spending a lot of money on their weddings, and they've got some really, really important people there to them. And being able to have something that can actually be handed on that will be appreciated in exactly the same way as they appreciated it the first time they held it, you know, potentially 100 years later. That's pretty special. You know, the same pages that they flick through, their great-great-grandchildren will flick through and, you know, have a sense of where they've come from. Whereas that JPEG, who knows where it'll end up? Who knows how it'll be enjoyed? If it still can be enjoyed, it wasn't accidentally deleted. But I think there's a room for both.
I would hope I'm your nerdiest friend. If there's a nerdier friend, I want to take him. I want to take him out of a fight.
They don't exist. No one nerdier exists.
So I'm actually plagued by this issue I'm about to bring up about digital photos. So like, I can tell you right now that I've got a Dropbox, like as in the literal the company Dropbox, and all of my images are stored there. I've got folders, and it's a bit messy in some places. In some places, I've actually done some work and I've tidied it up. And I've also got what used to be called iPhoto, just Apple Photos, which syncs up amongst all my devices. And so when I take a photo, it goes into there. And then also personal photos that I want to keep in my kind of world. If I want to show you a photo, I make sure it's in my photos, and it all syncs up with iCloud. And then those three things all sync up with Google Photos, which is already, this has seemed like a mess. And please don't, I'm not saying this is the best system, but this is just me trying to have backups. Because I imagine if I lose a device, or if something gets stolen or whatever, or even, you know what, Dropbox could go, that could go out of business. There's no, like, Dropbox is just a company. They can go out of business tomorrow and shut down. So I want to have backups because my photos are important to me. Like these memories, these images are important to me. And like you and I both got lots of mutual photographer friends, and I've really thought for a long time, I think I've even talked to you about how best to deliver photos.
Yeah.
Because like right now, the laptop we're recording this on, I don't know if you looked on the side, there's no old USB ports. It's only USB-C. But if you started only delivering USB-C things, a lot of people couldn't read them. Yeah. I don't feel there's one particular way to deliver photos well. And so I'm plagued by this because he sends them a Dropbox link, but then it's a little bit off brand. Like, it's not really nicely branded.
You don't know how good their internet connection is.
And then you can send a Pixie set.
If they know how to use it.
Should you try to access Pixie set on an iPad or an iPhone? It's hell.
Yeah.
I don't feel there's one particular way, like deliver images this way. A couple of months ago, I went to write a blog post about this because I was actually really plagued by the issue that there's no good way. Because even if we found the perfect way, like just say Dropbox made this awesome way, like they decided we're going to take on photo delivery. Even then, they're delivering photos in JPEG, and JPEG itself is this plagued format. Whereas if you actually want a JPEG to last the ages, you got to deliver like a 10 meg. I don't know. Like if you really think I want this JPEG to be great forever, you want it to be a big file. Because it's every time you open it and you save it, it then degrades it more. And so if you open and save a JPEG 10 times, so open JPEG, then save as JPEG, if you open it 10 times, it'll be a drastically different image than it was before because it keeps on compressing it.
Only if you make changes to it, right, though?
No, if you open it as a JPEG and save as a JPEG, it recompresses it every time.
So I guess just to make that clear, if you receive a JPEG from a photographer, and you just
if you view it, it's fine. Yeah.
But if you're making changes, you're resaving the file. Whatever,
so there's a point where if you open and save a JPEG enough, it'll just be a blur.
Yeah.
Because the JPEG file format is always like, how can I compress this more?
Yeah.
And so every time it's an incremental change. So JPEG is another best format. You can't deliver images as RAWs. I don't know. Like, so anyway, the whole conversation is plagued. So I just went on this journey what's the best way to deliver photos? And I thought, let's look at Apple. Apple's possibly the nerdiest, most intelligent company on the planet. They're like, in the digital space, they're doing the smartest stuff. They've got the most intelligent people. They do photos. They've got photo technology. They've got the Photos app and iCloud and all that. But how does Apple deliver photos? They release books.
It's true. That's almost the end result.
Last year, they literally released two books. They released a book that you and I can't buy. It was a book that was delivered to executives and also to photographers that were involved in the Shot on iPhone campaign.
Right.
So they delivered an album book to them. And then they also last year delivered that 20-year book. Did you see that?
I did.
I would
like when you said books before, I thought you meant, like, you know how through iPhoto used to be able to get
books. Well, you can do that as printed. Well. I think you can still
do that. But ultimately, it's like everyone seems to recognise that the end result of those images, they should end up printed in some way and shared.
Like Apple, the most digital company in the world, is like, we've got our favourite photos of our products in the last 20 years. How do we put these out there? Books.
Print them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which just blows my mind. I can't actually remember what Morgan asked about albums, so I'm just
I can tell you. He asked what the perfect size for a sample album would be.
Look, we have not touched on that at all. What's a sample album?
I think that's the first thing we need to ask, because, I'm sure there's some photographers listening, but there's also, people who have no idea what we're even talking about. So, for me, a sample album is just a way of being able to share my work with others in a way that will produce an emotional response, but also a response that helps them attach a value to my work. Because there is a sense that, because I recognize that often digital is associated with free.
Yeah, sure.
So, so for me, I want people to experience my work through a book format that has a value.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and it's saying they can flick through, it might have a certain texture, a certain smell if it's leather or whatever. You know, there's a realness to it that you just can't get with digital. So for me, I have books that couples can flick through when they meet me.
Yep.
I have books that couples can flick through at, say, a wedding venue.
So it lives at that venue. Would Benduli be one of those?
Sure.
So if you visit Benduli Estate, you're not there at all.
No.
I rock up and I'm like, hey, I want to get a wedding. Yeah. I want to have a wedding here. On display is one of your books.
Exactly. So I create books for those venues to show off them first and foremost, to show off the venue, because I recognize that the only real way to attract people to yourself is by making others look good.
But I'm sure on each one of those images in the book is your watermark down the bottom right, yeah?
No way.
How do people know that you took the photo, James?
Well, I know. No, look, the thing is, often these things are enjoyed in the presence of others, and the other person can usually then explain who it was and then give you a verbal recommendation rather than having to, ram it down someone's throat that this is who. Like, it almost avoids the conversation if you put your name on it. If you don't put your name on it, then it requires a conversation to find out, and that conversation will hopefully...
What if you put your logo as like a pattern across all the images? Like, I really...
That's okay then. That's okay. Yeah. So like, even so much so that you can't even see the images underneath, that's just adding some mystery to it. So no. I place a fairly big importance on sample albums in my business. And as I said, I have them at venues, and I'd probably give them to any key partner who sent work my way. All right. So for me, it's primarily vendors. It's primarily venues. Thank you. Just because it often goes in someone's, journey of planning a wedding. It's not always this way, but often the couple will start with a venue.
Yep.
And then they'll look at photographers.
Photographer, celebrant are in the top first three-ish conversation.
So that's right. So that's for me why I place them there. Now, I've made a few mistakes when it comes to sample albums, and one of them is going a little cheap and going, well, I'm giving this to them for nothing.
Mm.
I probably shouldn't invest too much money in it. And that was a big mistake for me. So I've done that for some places, and I've very quickly replaced those because I've realized that the recommendations just weren't coming through because they were basically, if a venue have 5 or 6 different albums to show off of different photographers,
the big W1 goes on top.
Exactly. Now, they're going to pick their album that obviously shows off their venue best.
Yeah, the sexiest one. But
also, the one that will also help position them as a high-end venue potentially. So if you've got this beautiful, beautiful album that looks like it cost $1,000 versus the book that costs $50, I know which one they're going to pull out first.
Absolutely.
So, and the second thing is, if that's the first experience a potential client is having with your brand and you're wanting to sell them a book, and then are you wanting to say to them, hey, are you going to, you're basically saying to them, if you show them the $50 book, hey guys, you'll probably buy a $50 book from me.
Totally.
If you show them a book that you would retail for $4,000, then you're saying to them, hey guys, you're probably going to buy a $4,000 book from me. And they're going to grow to love what they've seen. They're going to say, yep, hey, that's what we want. That's what we saw. That's what we fell in love with your work through this format. We want that from you.
Yep.
So putting sample albums in places where people can are finding out about me for the first time. So it might be in a couple's home. So having albums, my couple's actually having albums.
My family visited last week and we pulled out an album of Brit and I, and everyone washed their hands. And
yeah. There you go.
It was amazing. It was such a good experience.
And the likelihood that the photographer is brought up, especially if one of the people looking at it is looking for a photographer, or they're dating, they think, oh, maybe one day, you know, they're going to just file that away. And then they'll go back to their friend, hey, what was the name of that photographer again? It's Morgs, right? Yeah. Let's book Morgs. Whatever it is. So Morgan, you're asking about the perfect size.
Is he talking about size, so many centimeters by so many centimeters, or is he talking about like number of pages, or is he asking about both?
I don't know, but I can give an answer for all of it.
No, let Morgs answer. He'll come in.
Morgs, are you there?
Oh, God. Let's just assume he's
It's like, hey, he's out the window. Creep.
He's very creepy. Like.
So, look, firstly, for me, I want to simply model what I want to sell. I want to show off what I want to sell. So I don't want to sell people a tiny book with few pages.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, it's like you go in for a test drive of a car. They'll often show you that absolutely specced up model.
They're not showing you the bottom one with cloth seats. They're showing you the top one with leather seats and the Bose stereo.
Or they'll show you either end of the spectrum, one of both.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh no, I want the pimped out version. So I'm showing a pimped out version. Now, for me, I've also got to show what I believe in. I don't believe in massive albums which aren't going to be left out.
Yeah.
So I purposely, because it just wouldn't match what I believe. So there's bigger albums that are available. You know, you might be able to get like a 14-inch by 14-inch album. But for me, that's also going to be too clunky. When that the venue goes to pick up that book, they're not going to pick up a 14 by 14.
Hey, you know, I am a mutual idol of ours, Seth Godin. He released a book that you can't buy anymore. It was a book of all his blog posts, and it was just this cool project. I spent the 50 or whatever bucks, and it came in the mail the other day, and it's I don't know, it would be... what's that like almost a foot and a half long. It's massive. You throw it at someone and kill them. Wow. And it's really cool. It's like a Seth Godin book. It's a book that you can't buy, but it doesn't, like, it lives in hiding because it's impractical to have out anywhere. And even like a friend came around the other day who was a Seth Godin fan, like, check out this book. And we both kind of looked at it and kind of opened up one page, and it's impractical to use it or to view it. So I'm imagining there's the same for photo albums.
Exactly. I mean, for me, some of the early books I made were huge. They were A3 in size.
Actually, A3 is probably the size of the Seth Godin one, and it's probably about 3 inches thick.
Wow.
Yeah.
I went back to some old clients who received those A3 books, just spoke to like old friends and whatever who'd hired me, and I said to them, hey, where are your books now? And they're like, honey, where's the book?
It's in the box from the last time you moved.
Well, it was under the bed
often
because it was too big to keep out. And I'm like, well, how's that going to serve them or my business?
Yeah,
it's not going to serve anyone apart from, you know, the dust mites that are going to eat the pages under the bed. So I'm like, well, if I can... I remember I was in Brisbane at the time meeting with an album company. I was hanging out with some photographers up there, and I just picked up my first 8x8 sample. And I was going to a little photography convention thing in Brisbane at the time, and I had this 8x8, and everyone just laughed at me, and they're like, you know, as if your clients are going to want an album that size. And I said, well, I think they will. And it was really interesting because my sales went through the roof.
Yep.
Because I had a product that I believed in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, the A3 never made sense. I just thought that's what you meant to do. Just have the biggest album.
Were the big ones, was that a norm for a while? Was it like everyone's big, 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 big?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was, I mean, I was living in Little Old Armadale at the time, so I don't know what a lot of people were doing, but I know for me, that was sort of what was marketed to me by the companies. So for me, 8x8 or 10x10 right now is the size. But when it comes to the pages, I definitely, for a sample book, I will definitely put in a good number of pages that will help tell the story about what happened on the day that I'm showing, but yep. Also tell a good story of what a full coverage from me looks like. So for me, it's about finding that happy medium with pages and size. It doesn't need to be the biggest, but also wouldn't want to get a cheaper. So for me, it's not necessarily about the size. It's also about the quality.
Yep.
So I don't think there's like a perfect size, but you've just got to believe in what you're selling and have a good reason for it. And obviously think about the kind of clients who are booking you. So if you've got a client who you know it's all about being understated, they don't want to be look as though they're the wanker with, you know, the Porsche or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're the guys who'll buy their Toyota Camry because they don't want to come across too much like a poser.
Yeah.
When if they want to show their mates a wedding album, they probably want to show them something that's a little bit understated. So it's not like, hey, look at us.
Yep.
Look at our glitzy gold-covered book with fancy this and that, you know. It's got to feel authentic to them.
I want to talk about automation, but doing a round out, you were just in America with Vision Art yes. at the WPPI.
Yeah.
Is it a conference or is it an expo? It's a conference?
It's probably an expo would be probably the closest thing.
Yeah.
So there's a trade show, but there's also a lot of speakers who are putting on different shows. Then there's a bit of everything. So you've got a lot of breakaway things where, you know, a photographer might be like, hey, we're going to go shoot in Death Valley this morning. It's $50 to come along. And so there's like stuff that's organized by individuals. There's stuff that's organized by the expo. But yeah, Vision Art, they're the people who make my books. They're based in Iowa. They've been making my books for 3 or 4 years now. And I found out about them through basically just offering amazing customer service.
Cool.
And I was like, I want to be a customer. So now I am.
Do you want to give this away to someone listening?
Sure.
Yeah.
So what's this?
This is a $250 gift card to Vision Art. This is completely unplanned, by the way. Like,
yeah.
This isn't non-ad for Vision Art. Like, but if Vision Art wants to advertise, give me an email. but you had this lying on the desk, and I thought
I'd love to give that away
because I'm not like I get photographers to make albums for me. I don't make albums. I'm not an album guy.
Sure.
I don't.
So basically. Yeah, these guys gave me a couple of these to give away when I was hanging out, and I have that one left over.
Can I only use this for Jordan and Mel's album? They're on the front card, that's all.
I think if you've got a couple with a different name, it should still apply.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? Let's not make this complicated. The first person to email in, can I get yourselves a gift card?
Yeah, so do we say it's a $250 gift card?
Should we say it in a more competition-y kind of voice, like $250?
And actually, yeah, we should. We just did, in fact, so we can't go back. We can't really.
And look, I've been working on radio for 10 years, and I never set a prize like that. It's just I did this purely for the podcast.
So you know what the awesome thing about this gift card is?
Tell me.
It's probably worth more like $500 to you. Oh, and this is US dollars too. So this is $250 US, but it's more like $500 US simply because if you haven't used Vision Art before, they give you 50% off any sample product as well.
Awesome.
So you could basically order a $500 book, give them this $250 gift card in exchange, and you're set to go.
Cool. Alrighty.
So it's a good way to get started.
Okay, let's round out the podcast. Let me solve a problem in your world, James. What's a painful thing in your business that I can hopefully lubricate or automate or tell you is unnecessary?
Okay. So, I mean, you've helped me automate some parts of my business already using Zapier and a few different, creating some zaps. But one thing that we haven't done, and it's created a little bit of a headache for Kath, is working out a good way to follow up on clients who have purchased an album, because basically the process for us is they say they want an album, we invoice them for it, and then 3 or 4 weeks after the wedding, we ideally want to get in touch and say, hey, let's meet up to design this album.
Yeah.
Now, as part of that, we need to obviously get them to do a few things. One is to favorite the top 200 images.
In PixieSet?
Through, I use Instaproof.
Oh, sorry.
Similar idea. Very similar idea.
I just need to know that I'm typing so I can write this down. So if you can be typing in the background, I'm completely here.
Yeah. So the top 200 images, then so they need to favorite those. They need to make a time that's a week after, at least a week after that, to meet us, just so then I've got time to get them printed, because I get the top 200 printed and we literally sit down and scrapbook them together.
Yep.
While I create it digitally as well. So we basically need to say, hey, it's time.
Yeah.
Let's get this stuff. Let's get the show on the road. Now at the moment, we have a form that some clients would fill out and say, hey, we want an album. Where if they do that on original booking, sometimes it's done just through an email to say, hey, can you add an album to our booking?
Yep.
Basically, I don't have a way where I can go, cool, I know that these people have an album, or, you know, wanting to add an album to their package, and let's start them on a bit of a workflow. And literally the other day, when I was on my way home from America, Kath spent the day going through all of the invoices to work out who had ordered an album and who needed following up on it. And she spent half the day doing this because we didn't have a system to help that happen automatically.
All right. So, as like people that know me, and even if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you'd know that I need to have there needs to be a journey, but before we have any tools or automations, there needs to be like this track we're going to send people down. And I feel like this is almost like a separate sidetrack to your normal photography. And because it's almost like its own product on its product on its own, and it needs its own little mini journey on the side. So, tell me, like, I'm just like, we haven't prepped for this at all. I'm just trying to think of my feet. I think a good way to start is something I just referenced in a blog post on unpopular.com.au actually is about sending people out to a separate page on your website, whether it's for information consumption, like, hey, here's information on this, or in this stage, I think it'd be good to send them to a page which is something like jamesday.com.au/ album buyer. I haven't got a better name.
Something.
Album getter. Something. Yeah, maybe, I'm sure we can find a sexier name.
Yeah.
And that page is so you've chosen to buy an album, fill out this form.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I want to put it into a form is because when it's in a form, we have a structured way of, we have a structured collection of data.
Yep.
We have like, there'll be a field and a database that says name and it's got their name, email, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And part of this is going to be wedding date. And so here's my thought process. That because I know on their initial reservation form, they can tick a box for an album.
Exactly.
And what would...
Some people do,
yep,
at that point.
And so what we'd do is, if they do tick a box, that we would send them an automatic email with this, with a link to, hey, you've ordered an album, please fill out this form. But it's the same form if later on in the process, heck, even after the wedding, the same form is applicable for people from the very start of your wedding journey to the end, that you've chosen to get an album, fill out this form, and it starts the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so the process goes like, you might tell me if there's other things we need to know, but I want to know the couple name, contact email, maybe ask for a phone number just to be sure.
Maybe when they're back from the honeymoon, in case they're going to extend the honeymoon.
I'd ask for a wedding date first, so you can start your process. And then honeymoon date, maybe just for your own information, because I know it's nice to know.
It's useful because if when we're trying to set a date to do the meeting, because we want to do it after they come back from their honeymoon often.
Yep.
Like, we basically want to know what time restrictions there are. So there's no point saying, hey, it's 3 weeks after your wedding. We need to design your album next week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so maybe ask for the wedding date just for your personal reference, but maybe the date that we're going to hinge this whole process off is back from honeymoon. Yeah, we'll call it from back from honeymoon date, or if you're not going on honeymoon, just the date we can contact.
When the images are ready. Yeah.
So here's the thing. From this form, we want to set a few things in motion. Now, if I was doing this for my business, I would put this into a Todoist. I'd make some actions in Todo, some to-dos in Todoist. And what I'll do is I'll...
So Todoist is a program,
isn't it? It's a to-do app, to like things I need to do.
Yep.
And I would because you would send that form off to Zapier, and then Zapier would put a few things into action. I'm assuming you'd probably start an invoice, maybe draft an invoice in Xero. Mm-hmm. Are you still invoicing e-clients from Xero?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'd start a draft invoice in Xero, even though you might have to go back and, I'm sure, because every album order is going to be a little bit different, but at least you start a draft so you can look in your drafts and say, these are all drafts that I've got to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I would at least just create, I'd just have an entry, but whether it's a Google Sheet or even it's just an entry in the form software, these are all people that have ordered albums. So at least there's a list.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, there's a list of people that have ordered albums. And if they're not on that list, it's their fault, not your fault.
Yep.
Because you want the customer journey to be awesome and easy, but you also need them to take ownership of it. And if it comes to a point where, like, 9 months later, they're like, oh, we never got an album. Like, you never filled out the form.
Yep.
So that's
their problem. Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to make it their problem in the most kind of like loving, kind way, but you want to make it their problem.
Yeah.
And then from here, it's going to come into what works best for you. See, because I know you've started using Calendly.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the Zapier process might be once they've filled out the form, you send them an email. Maybe you send them an email on that date, then again when they get back from their honeymoon, or maybe one day later. And that email says, hey guys, please choose your images is it Shootproof using?
Instaproof.
Instaproof, sorry. Please choose your top 200 images and Instaproofs. And then maybe 5 days after that, because in Zapier you can say wait 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe wait 5 days, then send another email saying, let's make a time to create your album and send it to the Calendly link. An album, and maybe you make a separate Calendly event, because I know you've got a Skype event and a Skype meeting type
and an in-person meeting.
So maybe there's a third one, because I don't know if you want to have different parameters, different days, and whatnot.
Absolutely.
And so you make a Calendly event type for that,
mm-hmm.
and please make a time here. So let me see if I'm checking up all the things. So first of all, we've got a list of people that mm-hmm. have ordered an album.
Mm-hmm.
So if nothing else, we can just reference a list.
Yeah.
If it was me, I'd send all the information from that list into a Google Sheet, just so I've got it in a database.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really using Google Docs there, are you?
Not heaps.
No. So, it doesn't hurt, just have a backup.
Yep.
But all the information would be in your Gravity Forms anyway. So that's, mm-hmm. it's already stored. Another way to do it would be if you're using Airtables for database, which is a cool way to collect information, you can send it to Airtables. But anyway, you've got a list. Secondly, I'd create the invoice just so, because the money side's important, even if it's just a draft. I know something in my life, I create a lot of draft invoices through automatic processes. So every day or four or five, I'll just go to the sales section Xero and click on sales, and it shows you how many draft invoices there are. And sometimes I've got to delete a few, sometimes because automation's like a certain one created two invoices and I needed one or whatever. But I'd rather have too many draft invoices than not enough.
Yep.
And that way I can go in there and I'll edit it. And so for you, it'll be, well, they've chosen these options for that album, so it'll cost this much. Invoice it. Even if the invoice date is set in the future or whatever, you've got the information there, so it's in Xero. So we've covered off the list. We've covered off the money. Because we've got their date from their honeymoon back, in Zapier you can say, on that date, send them an email. And you'll say, hey, please log into your Instaproof and choose your top 200 favorite images.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, you can put another delay in 5 or 6 days after that, and please make a time to catch up.
Yep.
And that way, you've sent them on a journey. You may still have to follow up, but at least
You'll know that. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's not you stepping off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas at the moment it is, because, you know, there'll be some that'll slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
And then even, you know, I've got some clients who got married sort of late last year where we've just been trying to find a time to meet. But because I haven't set up the Calendly for that yet,
yeah,
it's this constant back and forth and it's not easy for anyone. So that's probably pretty high on my list of things to get sorted out.
All right.
Because it's not good for anyone.
So from here, because are you still using that sub site for forms, jamesday.xyz?
Yeah.
So we'll probably set up on jamesday.xyz, which is just a WordPress install running Gravity Forms that is purely for forms. On that, we'd set up a form. We've got to find a sexier name, but album buyer, album. Yeah.
It's just me slash albums.
Just slash albums. Yeah. And the form just says, you've decided to get an album. Please fill out this form so we can start the process.
Yep.
Couple name, phone number and email. Well, phone number just for reference point and wedding date just for reference point. Because sometimes you've got a few weddings, a few names. You just need reference points. So you'd be like, oh, it's that wedding. Because we're stupid sometimes. But you want to get their email and the couple name and the date they're back from their honeymoon. Are there, like, when it comes to albums, like, what kind of, do you want to start getting to products here, like album X, Y, or Z pricing, or do you want to leave that?
I definitely need
manual
to,
process?
I definitely need to also provide them with a reminder of the upgrade costs so that there's less, and that would be something from the very beginning. So, like, literally, they've just bought a book. I need to make sure, like, so they've committed to the fact that they want a book.
Would that be an email you'd send on completion of this form? Say, and here's a here's the price list.
Well, I think I also need to make it available before they fill out the form. So it's like, hey, you know, it's almost like part of the terms and conditions that they understand the different costs associated.
Like, well, that can be part
of
the form.
It's almost like they're almost like signing another contract to say, hey, we want an album and we get the deal. We understand that, you know, if it goes longer than 6 months, that we void the fact that we're getting an album because, you know, just little things that I need to.
I'd try not to make it too complicated, but part of that form, I'd say, and here are the costs associated, and detail that in a simple but accurate way.
Yeah.
And then submitting that form, because if that information is part of the form, if it's inside the form and you click submit, that's acceptance of that.
Yeah.
Having a box to, you know, check here to say I've read the terms and conditions. No one's reading the terms and conditions.
What I mean is, though,
but I'd definitely have that information as part of the form. So yeah. Here is the information.
Cool. Because, and one thing I would add for other photographers, one thing I wish I'd done sooner, not 14 years down the track, is just setting setting some time frames.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, basically letting them know really clearly that if they're going to buy an album, we'd expect that this would be done in a week.
Yeah.
This would be done in two, and we'll do this in three.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, rather than...
Because if you communicate that, it's now a known. It's not unknown.
Because if I look at... We have an album from nearly 3 years ago that's not completed. Wow. And we know full well that that couple is probably out there saying, hey, James still hasn't done our album. But the fact is, we've chased them up countless times.
Yeah, yeah.
And they book a meeting to come and do it, and then they cancel.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, God. They've cancelled repeated things. But that expectation wasn't set up front, and now it's just become one of those things 3 years later where it's like, oh, we probably should, and then they're like, nah.
It's almost getting to an awkward point. It's kind of like when you've been working with someone in the office and 3 years on you still don't know their name. You're not asking their name 3 years in.
Yeah.
You're not putting your hand out, Josh.
Exactly. So, yeah, if you're looking at implementing albums, look at your time frames, like, and communicate those really clearly up front, because it can be one of the biggest hassles.
James, give yourself a plug. Tell everyone about you and your business and where they can find you online and that kind of thing.
On Tinder.
Tinder, good. It's just, please.
No, I'm joking. Do you know what's funny, though?
What?
Someone set up a fake account with photos of Kath and I on something called Bumble that I'd never heard of until this point. And then I find out that apparently Kath and I are on there as a couple trying to meet other couples.
So I've just asked you to tell people where they can find you. You've literally stumbled into it. Like, so Bumble.com, is that?
I have no idea.
What's your profile? Bumble.com/James and Kath?
It's no longer there because we contact. No, we got.
Oh, Bumble.com/A Day to Enjoy.
Oh, no. The 2 days to enjoy.
It's a long weekend, if you know what I mean.
It's really not that funny, but he's laughing way too hard. Anyway, so how can they actually find me? Instagram.
Yeah.
James Day Weddings is the Instagram. If they write James Day Weddings into Facebook, I'll come up. If they go to jamesday.com.au, they'll find me there.
Well, because at this stage, as a point of recording, you've kind of got two websites going on.
Oh, man. Don't get me started.
Well, so daylight.com.au is one it's been running for a few
years. It's finished. It's like it's a fully functional website, but
So I just mentioned daylight.com.au. So that's your existing one, but you got a new website you're about to launch.
Yeah, or which is like three quarters finished there, which is jamesday.com.au.
Yeah.
So it just depends how quickly you publish this.
I'm not trying to do it today.
Oh, no. Don't go to jamesday.com.au then. Go to daylight.com.au.
So jamesday.com.au is a really interesting idea at trying to create a bit of a new customer journey, new customer experience.
Yes.
Like, I applaud your desire to do something new and different. It's good.
Well, I get really, really antsy, and I just want to try new stuff. Yeah. Like yesterday, trying slacklining.
Yeah, that was
really fun.
You actually took one or two steps by yourself. It was amazing.
I took one step by myself and then fell ass over tit.
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed you didn't nut yourself. That was disappointing.
Yeah, you were like egging me on to nut myself, but yeah. Anyway.
Keep on trying. This has been the Unpopular Podcast. Thank you.
Bye.